We're Dr. Gary and Barb Rosberg, America's Family Coaches, and today is part two on the topic, what's stopping you? And you know what, Barb? I love what we're going to coach our friends on today. I just know that sometimes when I bring a conflict, or those one or two times in our marriage that you brought a conflict into our relationship, this stuff, I kind of wish I didn't know this stuff because it bugs me, because it really works.
It really does. And, you know, what's really wonderful is when we do this.
Yes.
And we have a conflict and we commit to doing it this way.
Remember one time we were having a conflict?
100% of the time, the results work.
Remember one time we were having a conflict and you pulled out a magazine article and you started reading it on conflict?
Yeah.
And then you realized that you wrote the article?
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good one?
It was really awkward because we could not. Yeah, it's true. This is such a true story. We were in a season of heavy speaking and not enough margins in our lives. And we were exhausted physically. And there was way too much fatigue. And we were trying to work through a conflict. Don't even know what it was.
Yeah, I don't either.
We were sitting in our kitchen and I picked up this great Christian magazine and I started reading it. You know, there was big headlines about conflict. I started reading it and oh my gosh, I had authored it. Seriously. And turned it in, you know, probably 6 or 8 months before. And yeah, that's how long it takes. And it was so incredible. It was like someone else wrote it.
So were you convicted then of what you needed to do?
Or I was.
Were you
no,
convicted on what I needed to do?
I was so humbled. I looked at you and I said, you know, these principles work.
Yeah, I remember.
Let's sit down and pray together, not alone, but pray together, because the only way we're going to fight through this is prayer. There is something so big in the spirit that the only way we can interrupt it is to hold hands and pray. And I remember you looked at me like, I do not want to hold your hands. And I don't know what else you were thinking, but we did it. And yeah, I have no idea what we were fighting about, but in reality, we walked away and it was peaceful and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so that is a real story that comes out of our own kitchen. So the first thing I want to tell everyone that's joining us today is pray before trying to resolve a conflict on your own.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we will teach, you go off and pray and say the, hey, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart and see my offensive ways and show me how I've offended you and show me how I've offended my mate. Show me. It's the show me prayer. Wait a few minutes, allow God to speak to you, and then go back before saying a word out loud to your spouse. And yet, if there are times and junctures in your marriage that it's just so serious and so severe and so wicked and wily, choose to pray together. Pray together to break the power of the enemy in your marriage.
You know, the second coaching tip is to clarify what the actual conflict is all about. People would come in for counseling, and when I was coaching them on resolving conflict and forgiveness and closing the loop and some of these principles, you know, the husband would bring up an issue, the wife would pile on an issue, the husband would bring up another issue, and I would just sit back sometimes and clap my hands once and rub my palms together and say, you know what, I'm going to put an addition on my house with all this conflict you guys are piling on. And you could see the husband go, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay for that. And I'd say, okay, good. That's one way to get to a guy, is to challenge his pocketbook. But what I said was, you guys, just deal with one issue at a time. Because I'm watching you, and when you pile on several issues, I guarantee you're going to undermine the resolution of the smallest one. So let's start with something. Clarify what the actual conflict is. Put some boundary around it. And work that issue through. And then you can deal with the other issues, but stick with one issue at a time.
Here's another one, Gary, that we really coach people up to do. But I heard Norm Wright say this on a video once, and it was so amazing. He said to stick to as much tender physical contact and eye contact as possible. And he even suggested taking one another's hands,
yeah,
and holding hands and looking into one another's eyes when you're having the conflict,
yeah,
because you'll be gentler and more tender. Now, that does not mean that you squeeze the pinkies or you're pointing the finger underneath it all. I'm joking. But, you know, Norm Wright is a very wise man,
mm-hmm,
that all of us in the communication and marriage coaching field, we look up to him. And so when we hear him say it, do it,
yeah, great
because
wisdom.
It works.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Avoid sarcasm and exaggerated comments. You know, when I have been offended, Barb, and we're in the restoration of an issue. There are times where I want to move towards a cutting remark or something that, you know, will defend myself. And so that's the sarcasm. Or, you know, perhaps you and I are having a conflict, and you may even think that there's been a time that you've done this where you generalize the issue and it exaggerates, or I exaggerate it. When we do that, what the listener is doing is thinking of the times that there are exclusions to what you're saying. So when we say every time, or, you know, whenever you're, or absolutely 100%, all those different things, those exaggerated comments undermine dealing with the issue.
So that included the you statements, Gary, avoid you statements.
Yeah, instead of dealing with I statements.
Yes, and that's what I'd really like to talk about, is that when you express the hurt, when you're expressing the pain, I mean, when you're expressing anger, which is justifiable at times.
Absolutely.
Use I statements. In fact, in the scripture, there's a mandate to be angry, but don't sin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, express the anger, the passion behind, you know, you're fighting for your marriage, but use the I statements, because when your spouse is using I statements, your ears listen a lot more. You really open up. You feel like they're being vulnerable instead of putting on a defensive breastplate to protect yourself. In fact, the minute you start using you statements when we're having conflict, Gary, automatically it's like, I'm going to justify my behavior,
mm-hmm.
because that's not how it works. If you really want to have clean and good communication, use the I statements. I am a great audience when you use I statements, because I sense your vulnerability. I'm listening for humility, and it makes me want to feel open, like this is a safe marriage, and I want to emotionally attach to you. So that's a good thing.
Yep. I think another element that we want to pay attention to is not using silence as a weapon. You know, one person says silence is golden, but really silence can be yellow. It's not healthy. It's not appropriate. It's not a great way to exercise power. So when you shut the other person off, now, if you're being silent because you're processing it, then you need to surface the explanation. Just give me a moment, because I need to think through what I want to say. That's wisdom. But when we use silence to close off the other person and stonewall and walk away, we're undermining the resolution.
Okay, Gary, when we're talking and when we're having a conflict, it is so good as a listener. Say you're expressing your passion, you're expressing what's frustrating you, but you're owning it. You're sharing with me what I've done. And when I listen to you and you're doing it well, what the best thing I can do as the listener, as your audience, to say, Gary, this is what I think I hear you saying. You want me to write down the checks in the checkbook after I've spent money? Okay, that's a joke, but that is a reoccurring issue,
no,
and I'm getting much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are getting much better.
I know, but here's the thing. When we are talking in communication, there's about six things going on at once. It's what you think you've said. It's what I think you've said. It's what we think we're communicating. There's a lot of different communication going on. So when you can repeat back to your mate what you think they've said for clarification, just as you said, then you're getting whole communication instead of partial communication.
And then, honey, one more. Strive to reflect honor in all of your words and actions. Yeah, when we honor the other person, when we are making them, making our statements clear that we're wanting to have them feel safe. Now, we can't make them feel safe, the other person, but when we are honoring and searching safety and security, there's comfort. There's a boundary around the relationship. There's the assurance that we'll get through this together. Another person feels safe enough to put down that wall of self-protection to unpack their hurts or their wounds or their anxiety or their fears. And yet, when one person says, I'm for you, God's for us, I love you, you're not the enemy, we'll get to the other side of this, true restoration can occur. So, folks, what we've coached you on in this two-part series is, what's stopping you? Diane Soley, a great marriage therapist, said that the number one predictor of divorce in America is the inability to resolve conflict. So go to AmericasFamilyCoaches.com and share with us what you think.